Communication, one-way simplex. It is common practice among many religions to pray to God to solve a problem. Bicknell Young said one of his biggest problems when people came to him wanting to help them with their business difficulties was that they did not know their business. Do we know our business in how to communicate with God? Do we know how to communicate with music? Do we know how to communicate with mathematics? Do we know how to communicate with the right way to cook, or to clean, or to make a bed, or to drive a car, or to talk to children, to be a teacher and talk to students, to be in business and talk to our staff or our customers? There's only one thing we need to learn, and that is that there is a principle involved in every single activity. And the way we can talk with anyone is to know the principle that governs a situation and align our thought, speech, and action with the principle. If we desire to talk to God, we do that by learning the principle that is called the divine principle. We do that by learning what the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love mean. What do they really mean? How to define them? How to let them bloom in our consciousness and be the leader to all thought, speech, and action? That's the one and only way to communicate with God. In Genesis 1, it is stated that in the beginning, God did this and that. Mary Baker Eddy defines that to mean, or rather translates and interprets that to mean, that in the only. In other words, creation is complete. We need to align ourselves with what is the real creation. All through the first chapter of Genesis, there are seven themes there, and in fact, they align directly with the seven synonymous terms for God in the order that I just mentioned them, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And in each case, when it talks about the particular, each one of the seven, it says, let. In other words, we need to let that quality unfold in our consciousness. It's already done. God already did the creation. But are we recognizing it? Are we accepting it? Are we letting it permeate all thought, speech, and action? Are we being a mother? In other words, that is love. Love is motherhood, where you're nurturing. Are we nurturing each one of those seven synonymous terms? If we're nurturing it, then we will be like it. Or let's put it this way, we will certainly be going in the correct direction so that we will be more like it than we were before. Today should be better than yesterday. We should be closer to understanding a little bit more about each one of those than we did yesterday. Mary Baker Eddy says, step by step, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. She quotes the Bible verse from Isaiah. In fact, that is an introductory quote to chapter 14, recapitulation, which is a summary of chapter 1 through 13, which are the individual elements and details about what God is. And chapters 15 through 18 are the key to the scriptures, and that explains the key to the elements, the key to the details. So if we want to know how to talk to God, we need to study the first 14 chapters, particularly the first 13, and then use 14 as a summary. It's like that's the final test. You know, we have a quiz 13 times on each of the 13 chapters. When we get to chapter 14, we're ready for the final exam. Then, when we move on to the key, chapters 15 through 18, then we're working on an advanced degree, a master's and a PhD, or let's put it this way, a D, DSC, I guess, Doctor of Christian Science, or a DCS, Doctorate of Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy issued doctorate degrees to those who attended and successfully succeeded in the 1898 class. She chose those students. She didn't just open it to anybody who ever wanted to come in. They were vetted thoroughly. So if we want to communicate with God, it's just like Mary Baker Eddy said, if you want to know me better, I'm in my books. God is in his qualities. And those qualities cover the entire English language. Hundreds of thousands of words can all be condensed down into the seven synonymous terms plus the four operators. The four operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. The Word means what is God. The Christ means translating and interpreting whatever comes our way and converting it to the real spiritual view, which is flawless. Christianity is demonstrating and proving that what is coming our way has been properly interpreted and translated, and what we understand about what God is, which is the Word. Put that all together, and then we can work on demonstrating it and proving it that we are correct in our analysis and in our work. And then when we have the healing, which means that we've had transformation of thought, speech, and action, then we move into the science phase, which means we are living the kingdom of God. So if we want to communicate with God, it's a very simple formula. If we want to communicate with math, it's a very simple formula. If we want to communicate with music, very simple formula. We follow the principle. And from the principle have evolved the rules and laws. We cannot have an addition and a division, or a division or a subtraction, either one, and a multiplication or division without doing them as separate operations. The adding and subtracting has to be done, and then we get a result. That result is then applied to the multiplication or division. That's one of the laws or one of the rules that has been established as mathematics was discovered. Same thing in divine metaphysics. There are laws and rules. We have to follow them. You can't love your wife and hate your children, or vice versa. You can't love your children and hate the children that live next door. You can't love the boss that just gave you a raise and hate the one before that that didn't give you a raise. That's not principle. Either you know how to love and love impersonally, or you don't know how to love. Because love is not connected to a personality. Love is not connected to a body that is physical. Mary Baker Eddy has defined God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Not as a body, not as a person. Of course, body, the real definition of body is everything in our thought, speech, and action. Everything in our entire experience is our body. It's the container of everything. BODY, four letters, represent who I am. Who am I? I'm everything that I think, say, and do. Everything. If I'm thinking about you, that's part of my body. If I'm thinking about God, that's part of my body. And I'm a lot better off thinking about God than I'm thinking about a person. If I'm thinking about a person, it should be as a reflection of God. And like Mary Baker Eddy said, we've got plenty to do without occupying our thought with other personalities. Let them take care of their own personality. I need to be focusing on what God is and how can I reflect Him. How can I let the mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love be my leaders to my character in all thought, speech, and action? That is my duty, and it's a full-time job. As Mary Baker Eddy said, we're going to keep plenty busy if we just take care of our own consciousness. That's it. That's our duty. Take care of our own consciousness. And of course, that means our own motive. And that is really what our guide is for all thought, speech, and action. That is truth. Truth represents motive and consciousness. Now let's suppose that we're running a company or a nonprofit organization of any type, assuming its motive is quality, spiritual qualities that are being expressed. If it's not, then we better get into another business or transform the business we're in. So let's suppose we have an entity that we're involved with. And let's say we have a product. That product can be a service. That product can be trying to help people transform their consciousness by giving them things that can be studied that are spiritual in nature. It could be anything. It could be a manufacturing company producing any kind of a product that is for the benefit of its customers. In other words, it needs to be something of quality. It needs to be something that is fairly priced. It needs to be coupled with service whereby problems can be resolved. Mary Baker Eddy says we must settle our accounts continuously. Don't carry anything forward. We shouldn't be going backwards and we shouldn't be going forward with problems. They must be dealt with on a now basis. So let's suppose we're involved in this company. We may have been the founder. We may be an executive. We might be a janitor or somewhere in between. It doesn't matter. whatever we're doing, we need to be focusing on expressing to the highest degree that we understand at the moment the qualities of God in what we're doing. If we're a janitor, we want to make sure that we are cleaning to the hilt, sparkling clean, doing it efficiently and with quality, enthusiasm, joy. Everyone we see, we should be smiling. So, how are we going to communicate with the world so that they know about our product? Like I say, a product can be a service, can be anything, as long as it is for the purpose of serving mankind, giving them something of quality at a fair price. And we should give them service so that if they need to resolve some kind of a problem, that we can do it with them quickly and fairly. The largest retailer built their business because the man, a single man, is the one that had the idea and founded it. He built his staff from himself, being the only one, to the largest retail organization in the world. He built it based on absolute guaranteed satisfaction to the customer. You can bring back anything, anytime, for any reason, no questions asked. So he didn't try to resolve it, he just gave him a full refund. Other stores, because of his success, tried to follow that. Sooner or later, the public got greedy. And they started keeping things until they were obsolete and then taking them back, such as appliances or computers. They'd go back and get a refund and then buy a new one. Well, that's not being honest on their part. They were cheating themselves because they were compromising their own integrity. As a result, it spoiled the whole concept of customer satisfaction. Stores began to put limits on the time that you could return. Instead of any time, it was maybe cut down to 1 year or 6 months. Or even 30 days. Common in stores now to be 15 days. I know a first-class store that gives no refunds. You can't return anything. It's a first-class store. It is 10th class or unlimited failure class in service. They don't care about the customer. They think they're maximizing profits. What they're doing is turning away business. I don't go there anymore. I buy elsewhere. It's not that difficult to buy online. You can buy any brand you want. And the online places basically have a fair return policy. And it's easy to shop price to see if you're getting a competitive price. I'm not recommending it particularly because it depends on the product. Some things I will only buy where I can go in the store and make a personal purchase. Other things, I find it very good to buy online. Each one has to determine what suits their needs and preferences. If we're going to communicate with God, we can't do that. because God determines the rules. We either comply with them or we're not going to have any connection to God. That's it. In the only, Genesis 1 says, according to the interpretation by Mary Baker Eddy, in the only, not in the beginning it was this way and then it changed to that way and so forth and so on and whatever. No. In the only. In chapter 17, the glossary of the textbook, Science and Health with the Feet of the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, under the definition of good, it says God, Spirit, Omnipotence, Omnipresence, Omniscience. Excuse me, I think it says Omnipotence, Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omniaction. Omni, big, big word. It's really the biggest word in the dictionary because it means one only and all. It's all encompassing. God is omni. Everything about God is omni. I mean, if we wanted to find God, we can do it with one word, omni. God is one only and all of everything. Frederick L. Rawson, one of the finest practitioners of all time, and he really stood up there with Mary Baker Eddy, in my humble opinion, in terms of his ability to demonstrate the science of Christianity, the science of the Bible, divine metaphysics of what Mary Baker Eddy discovered. And he had a healing, an instantaneous healing, where a man had a load of rocks dumped on him. It was an accident. But he was covered up with rocks. Mr. Rawson witnessed what was going on live when it happened. And he said, there is nothing but God. And with that, the man rocketed out of the rocks, totally uninjured. He knew God was omni, the one, only, and all. Not the rocks, not the belief that there was an accident. That did not even enter his thought. Obviously, the only thing that entered his thought, or let's say came to the surface instantaneously, was that there is nothing but God. There is no accident that can occur. There is no power that can cover up God's idea or injure God's idea. He didn't explain what he was thinking about. In fact, the incident was related by the fellow that was standing beside of him as they were gazing out the window and both happened to see this incident appear. To believe it occurred. In Mr. Rawson's consciousness, nothing changed because he knew that God is the only one and all the time. God didn't walk away from his own creation for a moment and let an accident happen. There are no accidents in reality. There are no storms, there are no floods, there's no hurricanes, tornadoes, there's no devastating any kind of weather. What can prevent God communicating to those that need the services or products that a company has to offer? It's called N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. Nothing can dilute the quality of the product or the service that's being offered. Nothing can deflect it. Nothing can divert it. Nothing can interfere in any way with its production, building up the inventory, getting it ready to and prepared to offer it to the public or whoever their market is. Maybe it's a special group. Whatever it is. The general public is not the market for jet airplanes. They may benefit from the service that is offered by the companies that offer the traveling service or whatever it is, commercial baggage or whatever. But if God was the seed that bloomed into a beautiful product or service, and if it was protected all the way, knowing that God is the only protection that is needed. You don't need a man with guns or men with guns that are trying to protect your product and service. We only need to know that God protects his ideas. God provides the creative ability, capacity, capability, facility, functionality of every phase of the operation. And then God provides the activity to bring forth the power that the idea offers. It could be a mattress that offers a good night's sleep. It could be a car that offers reliable service at a fair price. It could be a balloon that offers joy to children. Could be a game like Monopoly that has been enjoyed by parents and children playing it as a family. It doesn't take much to let the mind wander around a little bit and think of ways that something can be utilized. So if everything is right in the way the company was built and the production of the product and it being offered with good quality at a fair price, we don't have to be concerned about the details, because if we're dealing in spirit, God takes care of the details. We may not even know who would benefit from our product and service. We might think it's one group of people, when in fact there could be another group that we didn't even think of. But divine principle knows, because supply and demand are one. It is very easy to understand that the connection is directly from the source to its manifestation. In other words, there's no interference. There's nothing that can stop the process. Nothing can reverse it. Nothing can slow it down. Nothing can deflect it. Nothing can dilute it. Nothing can take away the capacity to satisfy the user. There are a number of websites that are offering products and services on Christian Science. Each one has something unique to offer. Just like every sentence or every paragraph or every chapter in Science and Health has something unique to offer that's unlike anything else in another chapter or on another page or in another paragraph. We cannot close the door on anything. Mr. Rawson said, we better not be criticizing what someone else thinks God is. Remember, this is one of the most successful practitioners of all time. I haven't even told you hardly an introduction to his phenomenal success in Christian Science. However, if there's anyone in all that I can think of that really had a grasp on what is God, he's got to be up there at the top of the list. And there's others, but he's got to be up there at the top with the top thinkers of all time about what God is. And guess what he said about what other people's concept of God is? He said, you better never criticize what someone else thinks about what God is, because we all know so little about what God is. We better just let everybody come to their own conclusions. That from the tongue of one of the most successful researchers and practitioners of all time, of Mary Baker Eddy's works. So we better forget about what the Muslim, the Jew, Gentile, communist. That's really stretching it. But anyway, we've got our own business to take care of. We've got our own salvation to work out. And we better not be concerned about what someone else thinks about anything. Anything. Dale Carnegie has stated in some other treatments, he said, you better not have a strong opinion against someone that doesn't agree with you, because tomorrow you may change your mind and agree with them. So keep the egg off your face. Don't have such a rigid thought about something that you have a difficult time eating your words. We're smearing the egg on your face too much, because the human brain can't take it. As Debbie Klingbeil has said, and she did some really wonderful research on this, along with her father Bruce and her brother John, but she came to the conclusion that the reason humans have such a difficult time admitting that they are wrong is that there is an involuntary process built into their DNA, their physical makeup, all based upon the belief that there's life, truth, and intelligence in a material birth and everything that comes after that, including a material death. So we resist change because there's a built-in involuntary mechanism that absolutely refuses to admit defeat. The human mind is very happy to accept something that gives them an immediate benefit. But if they were defrauded, it does not want to accept the fact that they've been defrauded. It doesn't want to accept the fact that they have been fooled and tricked and maybe lose totally everything that they put into whatever they were defrauded about. We have to protect our thought, speech, and action. We have to know that all communication is from God to His idea. All manifestation is a manifestation of the source. Mary Baker Eddy defines God in the office of mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, as being all source. In other words, everything begins with thought. Everything begins with the mental. Everyone has probably seen the picture of a light bulb in a cartoon or something that is, you know, with an arrow that points down to an individual that has an idea. You know, his face lights up and his, you know, the bulb might be flashing on and off, or whatever, to give you the idea that that character has an idea. Well, the idea is the beginning. Any company, no matter what it produces, begins with an idea. Everything we do begins with an idea, a thought. Mary Baker Eddy basically refers to ideas coming from God and a thought as being a communication of an idea to man. She refers to angel thoughts. But the idea is associated with God Himself. For itself. So if we're in a company and we've got this great product and we want to bring it to market, our work needs to be devoted to understanding that God is the only communicator. It's fine to go through all the mechanics that you would go through, whether that is advertising, whether that's advertising by word of mouth or whatever it is, whether you have celebrities that are out there promoting it for you, you know, personalities that are recognized by a lot of people, whatever it is that you do in your normal practice of marketing, the real key to success is the knowing that God is the communicator. I don't know if the ones listening to this saw the movie Field of Dreams, but that's a movie where the individual was a farmer and he had this inspiration to plow under his crops and to build a baseball diamond. And he kept getting this message that said, if you build it, they will come. Well, we have to know that if we have the right spiritual impetus in whatever activity we're involved in, whoever else needs to know about that and benefit from it will get the message. Doesn't matter what we do physically, we have to know spiritually that the real communicator is God. The real communicator is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Some of the qualities of mind are creative activity. And actually, I've mentioned these pretty well, but capability, facility, capacity. Couple that with action, knowing that there can be no interference, and that produces power, because power is a measurement of the action. Spirit is substance, defined as being flawless, transparent, and reflective. Soul is spiritual sense. Spiritual sense because spirit is the only substance. So what we think of as seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling with organs, such as our eyes are an organ, you know, whatever sensitivity we have in our fingers to touch something is, you know, is seeing, hearing, feeling, that's feeling, tasting, smelling. We all think of it on a material level, but the real senses are spiritual. So we have to be thinking about that. In the Blue Book by Richard Oakes, there is a one page. It's either 212 or 222, maybe 221. Mary Baker Eddy gives like two or three words for each one of the five senses that is her interpretation of what the spiritual sense is of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. For example, seeing is spiritual perception. Hearing is spiritual understanding. So are we going to do the sorting? Bliss Knapp, when he was 8 or 10 years old, was visiting Mary Baker Eddy with his father. And she gave him a fan. I think it was a warm day. And the common thought was probably to cool his face. But she gave it to him for the purpose of him understanding that a fan is a symbol for separating. Like in the second of the 7 days that are expressed in Genesis chapter 1, it's separating the good from the evil, the true from the false. That's what we have to do with every thought, speech, and action. We have to be exercising spiritual seeing. We have to separate truth from error. So everything that we think about, everything that we assess, everything we try to identify, we need to do it with spiritual senses. Not trying to judge based on physical appearance. Principle is the fourth synonymous term for God, and that means system and structure. Everything has to be in balance. It's self-operating. Always harmonious. If we don't have a good foundation, a tall building is not going to stay up. Life is the fifth one. And life is including in life are terms such as multiplication. Life is really living the qualities of God. We can study about these things, but life is living them. Life is very active in the process of demonstration because we're bringing to life and applying it to the part of consciousness that affects what we think might be the source of the problem. And we must remember what Einstein says. He says, you cannot solve a problem at the same level where the problem appeared. And of course, an easy way to think about that is if it appeared on the human level, we've got to go up to a higher level, which would be the spiritual level, to solve it. We have to get the bigger picture. like the professor that hung up a white sheet with a little black dot in it across the viewing area of his students, he said, "What do you see?" They ended up focusing on the little black dot. He said, "No." He said, "You've got to look at the big picture. The white sheet is white purposely because it represents purity. Make sure you're representing, you're looking at the big enough picture and that it's pure." So we need to be conducting a life that is pure. Are we focusing on spiritual life? Or something that gives us a quick satisfaction? Truth, already mentioned, is motive and consciousness. That's something that helps us stay on the path. No error can be involved in truth. There's no truth involved in error. So we have to think about the truth of everything. The truth of our thoughts, speech, and action. The truth of how we're assessing capability and capacity. Creative activity. Are we looking at the truth? Same thing with substance. Are we looking at the substance that is true? How about what we see, hear, feel, taste, and smell with soul? Are we dealing with the truth or with an error, with a mistake? How about principle? We can't have a mistake in our principle or we're going to get the wrong solution. Life. Can't be dealing with errors in life. We have to be dealing with truth. Well, love, as I mentioned previously, is nurturing all of these qualities and bringing them to fulfillment. It's the wholeness, the completeness. Love represents plan and design. And plan and design permeates all the other six qualities: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. Do we have a plan and design with principle? Do we have a plan and design with the way we are using our creative ability that we're reflecting from God to bring forth the idea? Plan and design, very, very important. Also, Mary Baker Eddy defines love is a lubricant, spiritual inspiration. It's like it is the lubricant that makes all the gears that mesh all the other synonyms together, makes them frictionless, smooth, quiet, and functioning. No jam-ups. No accidents. Well, that's very briefly what those are. And I already mentioned what the four operators are of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. One thing I would like to mention, that is that we can't even think about trying to approach what the true definition of God is unless we have already come to a decision that what we are trying to do on a material level does not work. Because we can't have a door that is open to learning about spirit if we're real happy with the material life that we're leading. We have to be ready to make a change. If we're not ready to make a change, it's going to be very difficult to make any advancement in Christian Science. Because I guarantee that it's going to make a change. It's going to bring transformation to your entire being. The way you think about everything. The way you do everything, the way you talk about everything. But you have to be ready. You have to let it get into your consciousness to make a change. You have to let the leaven of truth work. Jesus didn't have many healings in Galilee because they wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let him. They thought of him as a boy or as a carpenter. They didn't think of him as God's messenger. So he didn't stay in Galilee very long when his ministry started because they weren't ready. They weren't willing to accept what he had to offer. Are we willing to accept what God has to offer? Are we going to see the company that we're involved in, or the entity, the activity, the relationship, whatever we're involved in, that we're trying to bring about communication with God? Are we letting the door be open to transformation, to change? Are we just going to follow our same old ways and dabble? If we do that, that's what our result's going to be. It's going to be a dabbling. It's going to be a dance. It's going to be a dance of mortal mind. Here a little, there a little, but it's not good. It's going to be a mixture. It's going to be a farce. It's going to be nothing. It's going to go nowhere. Communication. It is from God to his idea. If we are sticking to quality in what we're doing in our endeavor, no matter what it is, then it's easier for us to know that the communication, so that the benefit from what we're doing can be shared by everyone that can benefit from it. Everyone. Build it and they will come. Make the product, provide the service, and know that God is the only one that is in control. And there cannot be any interference whatsoever. And there can't be any obstruction to people, whatever it is, whether they're buying or whether they're making donations. I mean, with our website, the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, we don't charge for anything. You know, we offer everything free. But as I've indicated in other treatments, free is a very tricky word because nothing is free. Nothing. Not a single thing is free. People get these free emails. What do they give up? Some of them give up their whole life. They have their entire identity stolen because these people accumulate everything that you put in your email, every attachment, every title, who you send them to, who you receive emails from. Nothing is free. It's like the most expensive email you could ever have because they steal your life from you. They steal your whole life. Same way with these browsers. They steal all the information. They know who, what website you visit, what you click on. They store all that information. And you click on that you agree to their terms and conditions. What it does is it's giving them your whole life. Nothing is free. If you think you go to our website and you download all this tens of thousands of dollars worth of information that we have available, books and MP3s and beautiful music, and, you know, the treatments and everything. You download it all. Maybe you know how to program and you can write a script where it'll just steal the whole website. You're paying the biggest price you could ever pay. When someone robs a bank, why is it in all of these movies, and I don't know how real they are, but in all of these movies, the guys that are always robbing a bank never have any money. Never have any money. It's like it's a rule out there, like a universal law that it automatically evaporates after they steal it because they're always looking for the last job that will let them quit the business. Stealing money from a bank has got to be the most expensive way to get money in the world because they never have anything. Mary Baker Eddy says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Be the turtle. A little bit here, a little bit there. Do it on a strong foundation. Identify yourself with spirit, not matter. With spiritual senses, not material senses. Be involved in quality in whatever you're doing. treat people like you want to be treated. Golden rule. Don't let anything go unsettled. Settle your accounts continuously. Don't carry any baggage with you, some argument or some disagreement or whatever. Dale Carnegie says, if you are worried about something, write it down on a piece of paper and stick it in a file cabinet. This was before they had computers, back 80 years ago or so when he wrote the book. Actually, I think it's been 100 years. I think it was around 1915 or 1920. So anyway, he says, put it in a file cabinet and don't look at it for 6 months. You have another problem come up, write it down. Put it in the file cabinet. He said, you'd be amazed at the end of 6 months how many things solved themselves. You totally forgot about it because it wasn't you worrying about it that solved it. Because you've got to agree that you're going to write it down and stick it in the file cabinet and not look at it again. That's it. By the way, he had a tremendous respect for Mary Baker Eddy. In his books that are some of the biggest sellers to this day, next to the Bible, he had nothing but compliments about Mary Baker Eddy. Same with Claire Barton. She was the founder of the American Red Cross, which of course was totally involved in medication. And she studied Christian Science assiduously. She said she didn't consider herself a Christian Scientist because she doesn't feel she knows enough about it. And she probably was more spiritual in the way she conducted her life than most people. Einstein certainly said some wonderful things. He said, blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. Thou is Mary Baker Eddy, and this book is Science and Health with Key to the Scripture. Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. And then he said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. I think that was around 1945 or 50 that he made that statement. So he was just amazed, totally enamored with what she had discovered without doing any research in physics or chemistry or, you know, anything else. He spent his whole life on. Some of the brightest people in the world have been Christian Scientists because they have realized that it is beyond what everything else is. Nothing can stop the communication from God to man. If there is a benefit from what one has to offer to the world, nothing can prevent the people that need to know about that from finding out about it. And they will be inspired to share it with everyone they know that are appropriate. By that, I mean you're not going to, you know, cast your pearls before swine, as is warned in Bible and repeated by Mary Baker Eddy. So we have to be intelligent about what we do, but everyone has ones that they can share the benefits about something that they found is very good. We have a lot of people that compliment us on the website. Very few walk the talk. They talk about it, but then when it comes to making donations, they think, well, you know, everything is free. I don't have to give anything. Literally, they realize that the ones that are working 18 hours a day to bring the website, make it what it is, are also paying for all the programmers that are involved. No one takes any salary. Everybody's a volunteer, except for these outside contractors, which are the programmers, which are paid competitive wages. We have very top people as our programmers. They're paid the fair wages. God is all in all. We can't deny it. We've got to know that that covers every need of mankind. God is all in all. God is all there is. There is nothing but God. Amen.